How's everyone doing this morning? You doing good? I was doing okay. How's that? Hello, hello, can you hear me? All right, let's try that again. It was a great response over the last week. And can I say this real quick? I just want to say thank you to you as a church because all the people that were involved, there were so many team leaders that oversaw materials from hotel rooms to buying towels to getting water. To when, here's even the tricky parts. Even when it got difficult, because, you know, you can't pull something like that off and not have these moments, you know what I'm talking about? And you guys just absorbed that and you embraced it well. And I am just so thankful. I mean, I even watched as we ended the power team and there were, how many chairs over there? 700-800 chairs. And we came over to do water baptism and when we went back over, they were all gone. And tables were set up for a funeral. Why? Because the church, you, as the people, were willing to jump right in. And you got so involved. And because of that, we saw a few numbers you see in your bulletin there. Over 2,400 had attended during the five nights. There were 409 decisions for Christ. And there were 17 water baptisms. So it was an amazing time. But may I just say thank you as a church for all that you did and how you gave. What a blessing it was to this community. So well done. Well done, church, because there was so much work to do, but you had the goal in mind. It wasn't about a brick that you carried or a mouth that you fed. It was about reaching a community that's lost. And so now we've got the challenge of following up with them. And, you know, we had said, you know what, we're going to do a dinner for those who make a decision for Christ, and we're going to invite them back, and we're going to feed them. But as each night went on, I said, we might need a couple nights. You know, 409 people, that's a lot of people. So we're just excited to see you're going to hear some plans in the next week of what we're going to do to follow up with these decisions. And we're just excited for the great opportunity there. I did want to let you know, some people have asked, so how's your dad doing? You know, what's he up to? And I just want to let you know, he's actually taking some time and he's going to be an interim pastor in Cedar Rapids. They have a need that is there and he's going to fill that. So he is excited to be able to do that. He's just going to travel around and let the Lord use him how the Lord needs to use him. And so keep him in your prayers, but he's doing just fine. In your bulletins also, you see we have starting here, coming up the next week, Harold Metzel will be coming. If you notice, we're starting a new series this week called Stewards Are Us. Now, when you hear the word steward, usually you think of money, you know. Stewards Are Us. Oh, he's going to preach about money, and he's going to talk to us about giving more. But that's not the goal. It's about stewardship, because you know God's called us not just to steward the money that we have. He's called us to steward our marriages. He's called us to steward our decisions, our choices, our families. So there's so much more involved in that. And as we're going through this series next week, Harold Metzel will be here for the stewardship conference. That'll be a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday nights. Okay, and so if you want to get involved in that, he's going to help with, there'll be a nightly stewardship seminar, and then there'll be a free will preparation. In other words, if you don't have a will and you need to make one, he will help you do that at no cost. You just need to sign up at the information center. Also, he's going to help with any other financial plans that way, but sign up, and he's going to have some time. We'll have that seminar, and he'll share with us how we can steward well, not just our money, but our talents. And the time that God has given us. So, you'll also see that we're going to do a membership class September 24th, and there's so many things going on. And this is a good thing. It's neat to just see what God is doing in the hearts and lives of others. And as we talk about stewardship, one of the most important things to remember is when God has given us something in our lives, we are to steward it and steward it well. And I want to take an opportunity, grab a microphone, and I'm going to ask Tim, will you come up at this time? I want to introduce somebody to you. And some of you know who he is already. And I want to introduce to you, you've seen in your bulletin, this is Tim Thiesfeldt, and he is coming on staff. As a matter of fact, he is already on staff as an assistant pastor. You know, one of the great things that I believe that we need in our church and our community is an area of discipleship. And it's about developing the small groups and giving oversight. And Tim has a great passion for that. We have a history and we have a relationship that go way back to camps. He has had, as you've probably read, experience in ministry. He's oversaw the district youth for a period of 2 to 3 years. And it's been neat to see how the Lord's brought this together. We've taken our time. We started this discussion about a year ago, wasn't it? Here, you can have a microphone. About a year ago. Yes.
Yeah, and we've
been taking time to just see how the Lord progresses and leads this. But I believe this is just an incredible time. And Tim, just go ahead and just briefly tell us who you are, why you're here.
Put my hand up when you take a picture again. Well, as Pastor Jim said, I really have a passion right now for discipleship. And that's something that God put in my heart about 2 years ago. And as you can see, it's really hard for me to put down something into words there about what's happened in my ministry. I've had a lot of different things go on in the last 10 years, especially the last 5 years have been a little crazy. But I've had the opportunity the last few years to go and speak in a lot of different churches. And the one thing I notice over and over is churches that do whatever they can do to get people to come and fill the pews, and as soon as they've got them there on a weekly basis, they're done. And we just leave them alone. Oh, yeah, they're fine. They're here. You know, they're consistent. They're always here. And God just laid on my heart, that's not where it should end. That's where it should start. That's where we should grab these people and disciple them and mentor them and work them in and teach them how to go out and continue to reach the lost. Because as disciples, disciples reproduce themselves. Disciples make disciples. The Bible says go into the world and make disciples. It doesn't say go all over town and invite people to come to church. That's not the point. The point is to get them to church so that we can train them to go out and reach the lost, so we can bring them in, so we can train them to go out and reach the lost, so we can bring them in, and I can do that all day long, but I won't. But the whole purpose, you're welcome, is to try to train and disciple people so that they can go out and reach the lost, because that's what it's really all about. In fact, a couple of years ago, I was in the process of planting a church based on that, because I wasn't seeing discipleship in churches, and I said, okay, God, I feel like you're calling me to do this discipleship thing, but who in the world hires a guy to come on as a discipleship pastor? That doesn't make any sense. But God said, I've got a different plan, and that was actually, I remember coming here. I came to visit you guys for a completely different reason, which I won't say why, and I stayed the night for the weekend, and I said, and he was asking me about the church and about starting this up and whatever, and I started pouring out, this is what I'm thinking, it's discipleship and evangelism, pouring out my heart. And he goes, really, how's that church plant going for you? I said, it's not going very good. I'm running into a lot of brick walls. I'm having problems. And he goes, well, it's kind of funny because everything you're saying is what I want to bring on here. And I looked at him. I said, Jim, I know we're friends, but you don't have to make that up just to get me to come on staff at your church. You don't have to make up some position. He said, no, seriously. And then he shared his heart with me, and it matched up exactly to what God had laid on my heart. So, we've been talking since pretty much last September and said, we know we're good friends. We know we work well together, but let's make sure it's a God thing. So we actually put out last December, we said, let's shoot for September 1st. And he goes, what do you have to do to get here? I said, well, I have to sell my house, which needs to be roofed, and the weather and everything this spring kept pushing my roof back, and got my house roofed, sold my house in 2 weeks, and I was here before September 1st. So it's pretty amazing how even 8, 9 months ago, God put that date down, and it came through exactly right. So I'm just really excited to be here. I can't wait to start working with the church here and with the community and trying to get Jesus out into the community. I'm not so worried about getting the numbers up in the church. I'm more worried about getting the church out in the community and getting an influence out there and seeing the Big C Church, the Church of God, growing throughout Clinton and the surrounding areas here.
Mm-hmm. You know, September 1st, you may say, it's funny how we threw that date up. I knew the power team was coming September 4th. So.
Yeah, it's kind of like cheating. I come in here to disciple people and handed 400 cards. Here you go.
Yeah, I said,
like
here's...
I gave like a
decisions.
Telemarketer sheet.
I gave him the decisions. I said, here's your job. I tell you what, we've known each other. We've taken this as slow as we possibly can, just seeing where the Lord leads. But I want you to just welcome him on the staff. And I know this is like, you know, there's so many changes going on. I mean, good grief. I mean, can we just slow down a little bit more? I'm trying. But the thing is when God gets moving in that, and we need to get people engaged. And here's the other question people have asked, and I'm just going to throw it out there. Did you bring him in so you can elbow Pastor John out? Absolutely not, okay? Can we lay that to rest? No, absolutely not. It's just neat to see how the Lord is developing a staff, and it's new. It's a new season for all of us, but there's great things I believe God is doing. And I just want to do this. I want to ask, church, would you just extend your hand as we can pray for Tim as he starts this new season, that the Lord will just bless him. And if, yeah, Pastor John and Mike and Lisa, I've asked if you'd be willing to just come on up if you want and pray. Would you just extend your hand? Let's pray over him. Father, I just thank you for the new season of life that you're bringing us to. Lord God, sometimes it's scary. There's the unknown. We don't know what's around the corner, and we just want to know for sure that you're in the midst of this. Lord, your word says that if we call upon you, that Lord God, you not only hear us, but you speak to us. I pray for Tim and Lord for this church, that Lord, as he settles into this position, that it's not about a man filling a job. It's about you calling a shepherd to a new season in life. And Lord, I pray that as he's placed here in this church and in this community, that you would place this church and this community within him. And that, Lord God, you would give him a passion for this people. Lord God, we know it's there. We see it's there. Lord, I just pray now that your anointing would be upon him for this place, for this position, and for this time. So, Lord God, we speak blessings upon him, and we ask that your anointing would be upon him. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Can we just give the Lord a hand for what he's doing? Thank you. Welcome. You do. We're a church that hugs. So, well, as you can see, go ahead in your bulletins. There's an outline that says, Stewards Are Us. And I want to take some time and talk to you in the next 3 weeks. We're starting a series called Stewards Are Us. Now, you know what this looks like, right? You know, remember that store that I won't mention so I don't get myself in trouble or whatever. But these big bubble letters, you know, Stewards Are Us. I was in the car with my kids the other day, and I was picking on them, you know, because they're getting at the age where, you know, they notice boys and they notice girls and that. And I was picking on a friend of a friend, so to speak, and a boy was showing some interest and wrote a letter, and he wrote it in bubble letters. And I said, ooh. I said, bubble letters. I said, anytime you get a guy to write you a note in bubble letters, it's true love, baby. He's serious. If a guy writes in bubble letters, he means it. It isn't just about a friend thing. Well, we got bubble letters this morning because God has something important he wants to speak to us about stewardship. Now, I don't want to come and talk to you as if we don't know anything about this. I believe we are a church that understands stewardship and that we do well with it. But the moment you think you know it all or you've arrived, you've plateaued, is the moment that things start to crumble. Because you get this, you adopt this mentality of, I have arrived, and now you, what happens if you're not careful? You take on this ownership mentality rather than a stewardship heart. And that's what I want to talk to you about over the next 3 weeks. I want to talk to you this morning about the role of a faithful servant. And in the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about time and opportunity, and we're going to talk about living life from the sweet spot. Because stewardship is not just about your checkbook. It's not just about do you tithe or don't you tithe, or do you give an offering above and beyond, do you help out others. Stewardship has to do with a mindset. It has to do with your heart. So I want to talk to you about Stewards Are Us. And I'm going to read to you these two texts that I put in there for you, because David tells us something about stewardship. We're going to look at 1 Chronicles and then jump over to Luke chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 10 says this. It says, David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, Blessed are you, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor, they come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise and glorify your name. Now, we're going to come back to this scripture in just a moment, because David's talking about, he's getting ready to build a place for the ark. But over in Luke chapter 12, he gives us some insight as well about stewardship. In Luke chapter 12, verse 13, it says, Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who appointed me judge or arbitrator over you? Then he said to him, Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of possessions. And he told them a parable saying this, The land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat and drink and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God." Now we've got to understand here, there's something very important to learn about stewardship, because it's not just about learning about having stuff and accumulating things. I've got music coming through my monitor, just so you know. I thought there was maybe angelic music for a moment. I'm on the right track. I'm preaching the right thing. When we're... Let me borrow that hat. When we're dealing with stewardship, you know, I went to Dubuque to do a wedding, and I've shared this once before, but GPSs, they're good, aren't they? Do you guys have a GPS? Who has a GPS? Do you like your GPS? How many of you despise your GPS? You know, we like it, we love it, we use it, and for the most part, it's usually right, for the most part. I went to Dubuque, and I did a wedding. It was actually for Pete and Christy Francois, and we did the wedding, and I was to go to the reception. No big deal. I got a GPS. I punched it in, and about 15 minutes later, it says, "You have arrived." But I was at the base of a water tower. I was not at a reception hall. How in the world does this think that I have arrived? This GPS is telling me where to go and how to get there, but obviously something was messed up along the way. We had the power team, obviously, you know all that. When we picked them up at the airport, they had to hit the ground running. I said, "Two of you, we're going to pick you up, we're going to shake your hand and let you know that we love you and we're glad you're here, and then we're going to throw you in a car and we're going to take off. Because two of you got to go to school and two of you have to go to Paula Sands Live." Did anyone see the Paula Sands Live show? Did you guys see that? Yeah? I taught them everything they know. When we were heading to the Paula Sands Live show, we had to go from the airport to the studio. I don't know how to get there. I know where it's at, coming from other directions, but I don't know how to get there from the airport. So I punched into the GPS, and we're driving down the roads. And for part of the trip, you're kind of like, "Are you sure about this?" You know, we're driving through neighborhoods that I'm like, I don't really think they'd put a TV studio here. You know, you get a little concerned, you get a little bit worried, but all of a sudden, you know, you take a corner, and then all of a sudden you see something that looks familiar. You know how that is when you don't know where you're at, and then all of a sudden you see something that looks familiar, and you start to go, "Oh, okay, now I know where I'm at." And we start driving up the road, and we eventually made it. I would not have gotten there without that GPS. I would not have made it to the KWQC whatever. I would not have gotten there without my GPS. I would have been lost. Well, guess what? Your Bible is the GPS to get you and guide you through life. And God tells us when we go off track, He tells us how to get back on track. Too many times I've talked with people and they said, "Life is difficult. I can't do it. Nobody can help me. I'm beyond help." No, you just haven't turned on your GPS. You haven't gone to the place where it will give you direction, because this GPS, this Word of God, will guide our hearts and will guard our hearts. David, in reading 1 Chronicles, David is a man who understood what it meant to follow God's positioning system. He would listen to him. David's prayer caused God to say, "Guess what? Here's a man after my own heart." How did that happen? Because David followed after him. He had a hunger and a thirst for that righteousness. This is David's prayer. His desired destination is it, and it should be ours also. 1 Chronicles 29:11, it's not in your outlines, but let me read it to you. It says, or it might be, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in heavens and on the earth, it's yours, O Lord." He starts at a place where he acknowledges that God is God, and it's all about him. It's all his. You see, a steward understands that heart and acknowledges Christ as owner of it all. An owner just takes everything that they can get and tries to just get it all. Get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. You know, we just want to take it in. It's all ours. It's mine. We get a mine mentality. Mine. Mine. One of the first words kids learn as they're growing up. Mine or more. It's just hardwired within us. Everything in heaven and on earth belongs to him. And like everything in heaven and on earth, we are his possessions. Riches and honor, it says, come from you alone. Our riches, it comes from God. He gives that to us. It says, for you rule over everything. Power and might is in your hand. Any influence, the gifts that you have and the talents, guess where they came from? They came from God. He gives them to us. At his discretion, he passes out those gifts. We don't deserve any of it. It's at his discretion. And David said, everything belongs to God. And in essence, what he says is this: I am a steward, not an owner. I'm a steward, not an owner. Sometimes we say, wait a minute, hold on, Pastor. I own my house. I own my house. I have a deed. I have a title. I have a piece of paper that is notarized by the government, by the banking industry, and it says that I own my house. Let me ask you something. Did you own that house before you paid for it? Before you were living there, did you own that? No. When you die, are you going to own that house? You don't own anything. I don't own anything. We have been given this house to steward at this season and time in our lives. But you don't understand, I pay good money for that. Yeah, you're stewarding the money to get the place that you want because God gave you that job so you could get the money, so you could get the house. We don't own any of it, we steward it. What we do with it is so important. Here's three things we've got to learn real quick about what God has to say. Understand this, everything I have, number one, comes from God. Okay, go ahead and write that down. Everything I have comes from God. Number two, everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to God. And number three, everything is distributed by God. Now, if you see the common denominator in all three of those, you'll find that it's God. And it's all His. He owns it all. We're stewards. You see, David in the Bible, he caught this heart of a steward. He made the transition from owner to steward. He said, even if it's in my possession, it doesn't mean it's my possession. You understand that? Sometimes when we get something in our hands, we get this weird sensation that takes over. And we want it. We want it to be ours. We want it to be mine. I mean, it's just amazing. I can think of friends who used to have these cool toys, and I would just start to covet them. I would want them. I wanted to own them. Have you ever wanted something so bad, though? A toy, a dress, a car. In my case, it's probably a watch. just something that you like, and you wanted it so bad, and you knew there was a cost attached. But as soon as you did everything you could to snooker, swindle, whatever it took to get that thing that you wanted, and then as soon as you got it, it was like, it's not a big deal anymore. Why? Because I own it. I possess it. You know, a lot of times that's what it's all about. It's about us wanting to have this heart that says, I just want to have it so I can say I have it. Don't really want it. I just want to be able to possess it. I want that mentality, that control. And we lose this, we get this ownership mentality instead of a stewardship heart. We've got to remember, God owns everything. It's all His, and He distributes that to us. You know, the mentality of ownership is so prevalent in our society today because when you have an ownership mentality, guess what you want to do? You want to take everything, don't you? You want to collect. You want to store up. You want to, and here's a word, hoard. we want to just take it all in. The mentality of the ownership is so prevalent that you got to be careful. I looked through the Yellow Pages just here in Clinton, and I was looking through to see how many public storage places there were just in our community. Guess what? There was at least 29 of them. Storage units. This is Clinton, Iowa, okay? 27,000 population. Not 29 garages, 29 storage facilities, okay? Because we need to store our stuff. Some of these, I looked through the Yellow Pages, they were full-page ads. Do you know how much a full-page ad costs? They're spending a lot of money to be able to promote about these storages because why? Because they know that there's people out there that think of this ownership mentality, and this ownership mentality will keep getting stuff, and they need a place to put it. In the Quad City area, I looked up on the internet. There was a page that came up, and it was 1 through 25. You know, 25, it listed 25 storage units. And I thought, there has to be more than 25. And then I looked down in the bottom corner, and it said, page 1 of 207. That's how many storage units were in the Quad City area. At the year end of 2009, a total of some 50,000 self-storage facilities owned by 30,235 companies have been developed in the United States, and it's only grown in those last, 4 years. It's amazing how much stuff we want to store up. Why? Because we have this ownership mentality. What we're trying to do is accumulate. We have to buy space in these little tombs so we can store more stuff. We're like the Egyptians, hoping that we can store it with us so we can take it with us. But the problem is we will not be taking it with us. We have this mentality that we're owners, not stewards. And the problem with that is this. When you have an ownership mentality, you'll always be in want. You'll always want more. Nothing will ever be good enough. But when you have a stewardship mentality, you're satisfied with the little that you have, and God blesses you with more and provides for you along the way. Now, I don't know about you, but when I talk to people and when I think about myself, I want to be taken care of. How many people here would like to be taken care of? Yeah? How many of you like to be happy with the little that you have? You want some joy in your life. You want to be able to just say, it is well with my soul. But yeah, how many of us are willing to adopt that stewardship heart? Because it's the ownership mentality that drives us to this place where it seems like nothing is ever good enough. Do you know that God has given us so many gifts and talents? The abilities. He gives us the ability to bring in that paycheck. And it's not about just a paycheck, but you see, be careful. Have a stewardship heart, not an ownership mentality. My son, I love my son. And one of the reasons I love him so much is because he's so much like me in many ways. I'm at the place right now where I don't want to keep, at least I think I'm at a place, maybe you need to ask my wife later, but I used to just keep everything. 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 I'm talking everything. You walk away from a dinner, there's 2 carrots left on a plate, take them home. There are 2 carrots. We paid for those carrots. You got to take them home. But they would sit in the fridge and they would grow hair and they would turn colors and you'd never eat those things. And she'd say, I told you, throw them away. You know, it's one of those things. I would want to keep everything. The clothes. I mean, if I could keep my clothes from 1980, I'd still have them. Why? Because why throw them away? They still work. They're still good. I would keep everything. And I had to have some help along the way, a little intervention, I suppose, to get rid of some of that stuff in my life. And I'd like to think that I'm now in a healthy place where I don't like to have a lot of clutter. I don't like to have a lot of junk. But now I'm looking at my son, and my son keeps everything. We currently have a drawer full of rocks under his bed. Why? Because he likes the rocks. Seth, you need to get rid of those. No, you can't get rid of these rocks. Well, why not? Because they're my rocks. These are special rocks. What makes them so special? Me, he says. He's got so many toys and little things, and we went to get rid of some clothes recently. He doesn't fit in them. You know, he's just, part of life is growing up, right? I mean, we're supposed to grow. It's obvious we grow physically. We get taller, we get a little bit older, and so we were trying to sell some of his clothes, and I think Lisa had sold them to somebody, and she was going to look for them, and they were gone. You want to know why? My son found them, took them out of the bag that she was going to take with her to go give to that lady, and hid them upstairs. Why? Because he wanted to keep them. He had an ownership mentality. You know, it's in little things like that we start thinking, we've got to keep this, we've got to have it. And as funny as it may be with a pair of shorts or, you know, a drawer full of rocks, too many times we do that in our spiritual walk with Christ too. We're always looking to just get rather than what we can give. And we've got to be very careful because God wants to develop that heart within us that says it's a heart that doesn't adopt an ownership mentality. When you adopt that, then all of a sudden there's going to be some difficulties that come along the way. You know, in the book of Luke, and we're talking about God, he continues to explain all these principles, and he does it in parable form in the book of Luke. Says he told them a parable saying the land of a rich man is very productive. He began to reason to himself. He said, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down barns. I'll build larger ones and store my grain and my goods. Now, he's basically saying this. He's saying, I'm going to get my things and I'm going to put them in a public storage facility. I'm going to say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up in this public storage facility for years to come, so just relax. But it goes on and says, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good things laid up for many years to come. Take ease, eat, drink, be merry. So he's saying basically, I've accumulated a lot of stuff. I've accumulated more things. That means I've accumulated more life, right? If I've got more stuff, I've got more life. And he starts to become proud of that. He starts to become excited. But God said to him, you fool. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't like to have God call me a fool. You know, you ever read Proverbs? Now, God can tell you, and he can point out when you do foolish things, but that's different than being called a fool. You know, I remember when I first read Proverbs, a wise man does this, a fool does this, and I'd be like, oh, okay. Next verse, maybe we'll try that one on. A wise man does this, a fool does this. Oh, man, strike two. You know, it just, you know, but God would use that to bring conviction and turn my heart around. But here he's standing before a man and says, you fool, you don't understand. You've been storing things up within your soul only to discover that your soul's going to be required of you tonight. The stuff you accumulate does not mean you're more important, in other words. The stuff that you accumulate doesn't mean that you know more. It doesn't mean that you're better than other people. It doesn't mean that you're smarter. It doesn't mean that people will all of a sudden praise you because of the stuff that you have. That's the way the world tries to get you to think. But God says that's an ownership mentality. But what really catches the attention of God is the heart of a steward. It says, the man who stores up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. You know, our heart is to be rich towards him. But we have to understand then that we have to have this stewardship heart, not an ownership mentality. So is the man, it says, who thinks he's an owner, not a steward. Even when one has an abundance of possessions, life may not be rich. I don't know if you know about that. Have you ever met people who have a lot of stuff, but they're not very rich? Right here. They have the house, they have the cars, they have all that good stuff, but they are not rich where it counts. They don't understand. You see, if things meant life, stuff, if that equated to life, then what would happen is you would see somebody maybe in the hospital, and they're on the monitor, you know, one of those little monitors that look at their heartbeat, you know, boop, 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 and it's going along. Let's say that having things equated to life, then what would happen is the moment they flatline, boop, somebody bring in a new TV, they bring in a new car, they bring in new clothes, and all of a sudden, boop, boop, they would start living again. But that's not the way it works, is it? Getting things and having stuff does not equate to life. And we've got to be very careful and understand that it's not about the things that you have or the toys that you can play with or the beautiful house. It's about understanding that you have a stewardship heart, one that is humble and submits to Christ. So how do we get to that place? And how do we understand the role of a faithful servant and where Christ wants to lead us to in that? So here it is, three things I'm going to share real quick. The role of a faithful steward, we're going to be that kind of person. Number one, manages another person's property. That's what a good steward does. He manages another person's property. What does a good steward look like? Well, if you're going to steward and manage someone else's property, you must, and I think there's a little bullet in your outlines, you must be trustworthy. You must be trustworthy. A good steward manages another person's property, and they are trustworthy. We must be trustworthy because we're managing someone else's possessions. Otherwise, if we don't, greed will take over. And we'll think that we're owners. We're to manage everything that God has placed in our hands for a season. We're a manager of the things that God has given us. And if you're still confused whether you're an owner or not, just think how much of your things will be given away in a few years when you die. 100%. It's all going to go. We don't keep one thing. You've heard the saying, Nobody attaches a U-Haul to their hearse. You can't take it with you. You cannot, when this life ends, what is going to matter is not what you own, but what you stewarded it, or what you stewarded, and if you stewarded that well. That's what's going to make all the difference in the world. The other thing is this, number two, a good steward does this. A good steward takes his instructions from the owner. A good steward takes his instructions from the owner. If you're a good money manager, the first thing you're going to ask a person who entrusts money to you is this. You're going to say, like, sir, what are your goals for your life? What do you want to do with your money? Where do you want this invested at? Do you have a college tuition that needs to be paid? Do you have any debt that needs to be taken care of? What is your purpose of this money that you're entrusting me with so I know what to do with that? Do you want to invest in churches? Do you want to invest in businesses? Basically, he's saying this. A good steward takes instructions from the owner and says, you tell me what you want to do with this that you've entrusted to me because I need to take my cue from you. I need to take my cue from you. How do you want me to invest this and increase this? Fast rate? Slow rate? Where do you want to give it? At the end of the day, I want you to be happy with the way that I handled your money. That's what a good steward in the business world would do. But the same thing's to be asked of Christ. God, what do you want me to do with that which you've given me? with the gifts and the talents and the abilities. Lord, you've given me a good job and I'm financially taken care of. What is it that you really want me to do with this money that can further the kingdom of God? But you see, it's not just about money. God, what is it that you've given me in my marriage that I have not stewarded well lately so that I may steward it well now? You see, when you steward something well, health comes back to that. Life comes back to that. The problem is too many marriages have an ownership mentality, and that's why they go south. You know, I married you and you're here for me. Oh, no, you got it backwards. You married that person, you are now there for them. You see, and when you have two people who understand to steward a marriage, then it's both of them living for one another and for the Lord, and things flourish, things grow. The business you're in. Do you know that God gave you that business? He has blessed you with it. Remember earlier we said everything belongs to God, everything comes from God, He distributes it freely. The business that you're in, the work that you do, do you have a stewardship heart or that owner mentality? Because if you steward that which God has given you well and He can trust you with the little, then He can give you more. Let's say that somebody came to me and had $10 billion. And by the way, if you're here today and you have $10 billion and you want to give that to me, feel free to see me after service. Let's say, though, that he came up to me and says, Jim, I'd like you to manage some of this money, so I'm going to start you off with $10 million. $10 million out of $10 billion, you know, in his eyes, not that big a deal. In my eyes, that is some serious dough. Now let's say I take that money and I say, thank you, sir, for giving me this $10 million. I'm going to do the best I can to make sure everything's taken care of because now I know that I have this $10 million. I can buy that house in Beverly Hills and I can buy those jet skis and I can go out and we can have a jet ski ministry on the river and we can build a new building just for the fact of watching football. I mean, we can have multi-screen going on. It's going to be great, all for the sake of Jesus. You know what? That guy is going to come back and say, you're fired. I gave you that money so you could further the kingdom of God. I couldn't trust you with what I would call a little. You seem to think it's a lot. And with the little I gave you, you weren't very faithful with that. That's what he would do. And therefore, I would have to learn from that. You see, it's about having a stewardship heart. God has entrusted you and I with many things. The people that you pass by in your workplace, he's entrusted you in that place to be light in a dark place. How are you stewarding that time that you have? You ever have opportunities where you feel like the Lord tugged on your heart and said, maybe go talk to them, and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can do that right now. That is an opportunity to steward well what God has given you. You mean people? I thought stewardship was just about money and tithing and offering and that. No, it's about opportunities, as we're going to talk a little bit more about next week. God opens up those doors for you and me, and we have to be willing to walk through them, because if we don't, we're going to miss one of the greatest joys that God has given us. And that's an understanding of a stewardship heart. You see, the goal of this series is not to just talk about stewardship and understanding what we can get. It's about learning what we can give. Because when you give, that's where the real blessing comes. So we have to understand this heart, and we have to understand that we have to come to a place where we understand that we are to manage what God has given us. But here's the third thing. Here's the third thing, that when you're developing this stewardship heart, you understand that a good steward takes joy in making the greatest impact for eternity. The greatest impact for eternity. We're not owners, correct? Correct? Okay, what are we? Stewards. I'm just making sure you're with me this morning. We're not owners, we're stewards. So that means we don't make the decisions or call the shots. That means we take our cue from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and when He speaks, our job is to simply obey. We are not owners, we're stewards. Just because something's in our possession, it doesn't mean it is our possession. It still belongs to God. So I want you to take your cue from what God wants you to do with that. Not what you want to do with it, but what God would speak to you. Now, here's how I want to conclude the service. And you might, you know, it's like, almost, it's 12 till, and I'm saying the word conclusion. Can you believe this? Huh? God is good, isn't he? You guys awake? Okay. Here's what I want you to do. In your bulletin, when you came in this morning, there's an envelope that says COTOD on it, okay? Go ahead and take that envelope out for a moment. And if you didn't get one, and if we have a couple ushers in the church, that if you'd be willing to go grab them some, if you need one, kind of raise your hand. And we need a couple over here. Could somebody go grab that for me and do that for me? Greg, would you mind grabbing a couple bulletins for them? Thank you. Because I want everyone to have an envelope. Here's an assignment. A challenge, if you will. You didn't open the envelope yet, did you? Did you? Who opened the envelope? It's this rowdy crowd over here. Yeah. Thank you. What's that?
Bulletins are all gone.
Bulletins are all gone. Did you get one? There. I want you all to have one. Because here's what I want you to do. It's a challenge I'm going to give you as we start a series on stewardship. Yeah, see, we're excited. I feel the same way. Here's your homework. I want you to take these envelopes. Go ahead and open them up. Whatever is on the inside, take it out. Oh, bummer. I only got $1. Open it up, and you're going to find that there is some money in there, okay? You're like, man, I'm glad I woke up for church today. I'm getting paid to go to church. No, you're not. Here's your homework. Take these out, open it up, look at the money, and remember this. Everyone hold up the money that you have and repeat after me. This is not my money. Making sure I have to repeat that one more time. So people are like, this is my money. This is not your money. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is not your money. All right. Now, you will also notice this. You will notice that you probably don't have the same amounts, do you? Some of you have different amounts. Some of you got $1 and you're going, dude, I got gypped. You got a 10 over there. Give me that 10. You know, no brawling, no jumping pews, clotheslining, okay? There are different denominations because God, in His discretion, has passed out to people different giftings. Different giftings in our lives. So don't fight, don't be jealous, don't try to steal your neighbor's money. This is going to test your honesty and your trustworthiness because it is a requirement of a steward. Now, I only got $1, so what am I going to do with this? Well, here's the challenge. There is either a 1, there's a 5, or there's 10s that have been handed out today. But know this. What we want you to do is this. Invest this money sometime in the next 2 weeks into the kingdom of God. Now, you may say, how am I going to do that? I don't have the answer right now, and I don't want to give you the answer. I'll give you some ideas. I'll give you some suggestions. But here's what I want you to do. I don't know exactly where you live. I don't know your neighborhood. I don't know where you work. I don't know who you're going to cross paths with. But I know there's an opportunity that has been set up, and all we're doing is investing in you so you can invest in the kingdom of God. So that means you got to remember, this is not your money. It's not your money. It has to be connected, this giving. It has to be connected with the Lord. I don't want you to just give it away and say, dude, here's some breakfast. Go eat it on me. No, because what you did right there was you just gave yourself the glory. You didn't give God the glory. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. It's not a benevolence thing, okay? It's not. This is about letting your light shine in such a way that people that are in the darkness will see it. You got to connect it to God. He is to get the glory. Do you understand that? You got that? You sure? Okay. Because I want you to hear that. And He gets the glory. So we're investing in the kingdom of God to advance His kingdom. Now, there's many ways that you can use this. You can give it to a poor person, and then you can share the Lord with that person. Now, you can give it to a waitress and give it as an extra tip. You can add to that. As long as you write a note or you say something about inviting them to church or I want to bless you with a little bit extra because I just believe the Lord loves you so much. Do something to connect it to the kingdom of God. Say this is from the Lord so that you know that you are loved. You can say this is not my money. This is something I'm simply stewarding from our church. And I want to bless you with it. They'll say, why? Open door. Open door right there. You can walk through that and say, because I want you to know about the love of Christ. You don't have to make it sound so religious. You can say, I want you to know Jesus loves you. Because I want you to experience the things I've experienced. You say something like that, they're going to say, what did you experience? Another open door. You see, we've got to look for these opportunities and steward them well. There has to be a connection, though. Remember, this is not my money. I am simply a steward of it. It's the money of Church of the Open Door right now, a family that loves you, and you can say that to them, and we're investing in you because we want to steward what God has given us well. There has to be a connection so that people see that it's from the King of Kings. Now, I don't encourage you to talk that way, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when you're giving them money, because they're going to go, okay, you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but give me the money, and they're going to run. Be real. Meet them on a level that they can understand. But you've got to understand this. There's a few things you have to know about this money, okay? Number one, you cannot use it to buy hamburgers or use it for yourself, okay? Remember, it is what? It's not money. This is not money. No, it's not my money. That's the important part. Can't take it out. You can't buy burgers. You can't go to lunch afterwards. Number two, you can't fly to Vegas and try to invest it in slot machines for Jesus and reproduce it. Okay? I don't want to hear anything about Rose Casinos made me glad. I want to hear that Jesus has made me glad. You use it wisely. You can't use it for that. Number three, when I say give it to a poor person, you cannot give it to a person in your family and say, well, they're poor, and give it to them. You can't look at your neighbor and say, you look pretty poor, and hand it to them. We need to find somebody outside of these walls and invest it in somebody because it's about the kingdom of God. I want you to give it in ways that will advance his kingdom. Number five, you cannot come back to next service, here's the next rule, and get another bulletin, okay? I know how you think. Yeah, you guys got some guilty, cheesy grins out there. Drats! He read my mind. You know why I read it? Because I thought the same thing. People are texting right now and tweeting, dude, show up at church, they're handing out cash. But it is not your money. It's not my money. It's money that has come from the church. People say, can the church afford to hand out money like that? You know what? It's not about handing out money and we're just free will throwing it out there. It's about investing in you and investing in the kingdom of God and investing in this community. This is small potatoes compared to sharing the love of Jesus. The question is are we going to have an ownership mind and mentality? Or are we going to have the heart of a steward that is willing to serve in such a way that we want to see the kingdom of God advance? We're starting a series called Stewards Are Us. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about an understanding of not just what we talked about today, the role of a faithful servant, but we're going to talk about our time and opportunities. Because too many times we squander that and we waste that. And then we're going to talk about living life through the sweet spot. My prayer for all of us today is this. May we be a church that adopts that heart of a steward. You don't have to have it all figured out. Did you know that? You have to walk out of here and be stewardship professional extraordinaire. You just have to be you, love Jesus, and say, Lord, what's next? And he will show you. And if God can trust you with just that little bit, maybe you got a dollar. If he can trust you with that dollar, you're probably going, a dollar? I don't even know if I can buy somebody a cup of coffee with this. Okay, then add another dollar. All right? And go buy somebody a cup of coffee. And let them know, connect your giving to the kingdom of God and watch what God will do when he can trust you with the little that you have. It will turn your life around. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you that today we have a great opportunity to walk out of here and be who you've created us to be. Lord, we don't want to be content to just come to church and sit in a pew so we can hear a message and say, I can feel better till next Sunday. Lord, we want to get to a place in our lives where we feel good all the time, even through the ups and downs, because you are so good. And Lord, we leave here today with a challenge in our hearts. It's not about the cash that was put into our hands. It's not about words that were spoken from a platform. It's about your Holy Spirit that's spoken to our hearts today. So Lord, we take our marching orders from you. And we want to be a light that shines in a dark place. Lord, we want to advance the kingdom of God. We want to see your kingdom come and your will be done here in our lives, in our church, and in this very own community. So Lord, I pray that as we leave here today, we wouldn't make this so difficult and confusing that we would just stop, that we'd just keep it simple, that we'd love you and we'd love others. So Lord, we thank you for that. Maybe you're here today. I just want to ask, maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ. It would be foolish for me to just say, amen, go get him, and not give you that opportunity to say, I can't steward anything that God gives me right now because my heart's not lined up correctly with him. Are you here today and you need a relationship with Jesus? You need to make things right with him. Maybe you felt the Lord bring some conviction into your heart as this message was going forth. Know this, He brings that conviction not to beat you down, but to lift you up. He wants you to know that you're loved. Are you here today and you need to make that decision for Christ? Just simply raise your hand real quick and I'll agree in prayer with you. If today you know you can walk out of here having that relationship. Just raise your hand. All right. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you today as we go out of here. Lord, we receive the challenge that has been given to be stewards. Lord, help us to have that heart of a steward that takes what you give and that we do well with it. So when we see you, Jesus, face to face, nobody else is going to be around. The church won't be there. We'll be standing with you face to face. And we want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in." So Lord, teach us that now. Develop our hearts as stewards. We ask in your name. Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? Please get signed up for the stewardship conference. You're gonna like it. It's not just about a financial scheme. It's about stewarding the gifts and talents that God has given. But we need to know how many people will be there. If you're going to be there, if you think you're going to be there, go ahead and sign up, and we will make sure to get everything to you that you need. Also, remember, it is not my money. Connect it to the kingdom of God. 2 weeks, guys, and this series will be over. Find a way to invest somehow, some way, in somebody else for the kingdom of God. I'll bet you if you do it within the next 2 days, you're going to find it to be such a blessing, you're going to be taking out your own cash and you're going to start blessing people. It's not just about cash. It's about taking time for people. You can invest in so many ways. God bless you guys. I love you. You're dismissed.